come on.
That's what we got to put up with month in and month out. You only get the privilege. You know.
All right. I guess if the mics are on, we're going for it. Let's do it. Favorite moment so far this week, and it's only Thursday, was Tuesday night. I decided I was exhausted to go to bed early, like around 9:30. And I thought, well, I'll put on some music, and I'll listen to some music. And I looked at this rack of CDs, 200 CDs of accumulated stuff, and I could not find and see a single thing I felt like listening to. So just, you know, just you look at it, I was like, I've heard it all before. So I just went on the way to go to bed. I looked out the kitchen window. I heard, like, I thought it was a raccoon or something, like, out by the garbage pails, out in the thing. There's, what is this? And I heard it again, like, I don't recognize that sound, but things are closed. And I go in the living room, and I hear a little bit of it. I don't know, but I, whatever, and I go to bed. I'm lying there. Now I hear it outside the bedroom window, and I'm like, okay, this is really creepy. Now, I know we all know Halloween is coming. What I'm trying to do is a campfire story. And then I realized what it was. It was raining. Oh, goodness, goodness for us. The rain is finally starting to come. And, gosh, we had about an hour and 20 minutes of rain on Tuesday night. And what a welcome relief, I thought, after the drought and everything else. And then I realized an hour and 20 minutes into it that I was completely fascinated, completely awake, and I didn't need to put on a CD at all. That sometimes you find the music when you're least looking for it. And to those of us on the water-starved Central Coast, nothing could be more pleasing sound.
A small hamster or something, you know, to turn the cage for you.
Turn the cage for you. Yeah, no, I had fish, but, you know, there's not a lot of, you don't get a lot of action out of
No, there. They don't sing or nothing. So,
but I did make them jump for their food. Well, we have no public comment visible here today, so we will move ahead to the approval of the meetings from minutes from the last meeting. Anyone have any comments, corrections, adjustments?
Like to make a motion to approve the minutes of the last meeting.
Second.
All right, discussion up.
Second.
I heard a second here.
Students.
And there. I heard seconds on both sides.
Your choice.
Discussion? None. All in favor of approval of the minutes?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Look around and see we're almost all present this morning, with one exception. We will move now to the visitor center report. There he is.
Well, good morning. It's good to see everyone this morning. As usual, we have a lot of activity going on at the chamber, and I'll go over this activity report and maybe get into the, kind of the scheduling that we have coming up. Ed, it's good to see you. You came back.
Yes, I did.
Safe and sound. That's great. If you can see the activity report, we've done a comparison between last year and this year. You can see that the phone calls that are coming into the visitor center up quite a bit, actually, from last year. You can see an average that we have is 42 a day. Typically, it's a little more than that. And then total visitors, looks like it's down considerably. Could be a lot of reasons for this. The website probably has a lot of, to do with it. And you can see it helps us get everything moving and keep it moving. And as you can see, the promotional material is really a reflection of how we, as a promotions committee, advertises, and what you do really reflects on what we put out. And the numbers are, you know, they're pretty self-explanatory about the promotions. The telephone, you know, the 800 numbers, you can see as they're divided up, our general 800 number comes from northern, southern, central, and coastal communities, a total of 162. Sometimes it's probably a little more than that. So it's difficult sometimes to actually ask every single one who calls in if they're using the 800 number or not, but the staff does a great job on capturing as many as we can. Out of state, kind of interesting, I think, if you kind of look at it. Arizona has 5, which is a total of 31, but Arizona, it seems to be the most that we've had this last month. I don't know why that is, but it's always good to see out of state calling in and asking about different things. Looks like Nevada has some activity coming in, and also it's nice to see Canada. There's 4 calls from Canada. The experimental, I guess we shouldn't call them experimental, but they're actually test 800 numbers. Interesting. We have out-of-state calling from Texas, which kind of surprising. I don't know what promotional material we have that kind of gets into Texas, but this is generally the numbers that we're getting because people do use the 800 numbers. And, of course, the second 800 number, which is a 6816, you can see that we have a little more activity going on there, and actually out-of-state reflects a lot of activity. So I'm not real sure why that is and where our promotions are going to bring in these type of people to inquire about Morro Bay. But we've had a lot of activity, a lot of calls calling about the links, which is actually what I'm going to get into next is some of the activities going around the Morro Bay, and certainly Chamber has some influence there. But the links is coming in this Friday. Typically, they come in the afternoon. Sometimes they surprise us depending on the storms and the weather. Maybe they'll slip in the night before, or they'll come in the afternoon. But the harbor master usually calls us and says they are coming in. And we try to greet them as a chamber and certainly anyone else who wants to join us. We give them a gift basket. They always enjoy that, coffees, taffy, and some of the local candies and different things that we have at the chamber, and some of the members like to participate. Like I said, it's a treat for them if you've been on away from home, like some of these young people have when they go on these adventures. They like to have something special, and so we try to provide that every time the tall ships come in. And we'll do that this Friday. And hopefully, once we find out, we'll let everyone know about all this when they do come in. Some of the other things that are going on with the chamber tonight is a mixer at Foster Freeze. Should be a lot of funny, a lot of fun. There's a lot of activity going on at Foster Freeze. They're very, very excited about host Wednesday. Roses, 7:30 a.m. We changed the time because we want people to come and be able to enjoy some of the information, some of the speakers that we offer, and still get to work. We found that 9 o'clock seemed to be a time that most people have, because of our schedules, just didn't work quite as well. So we're still adjusting, but I think 7:30 a.m., it allows a lot of people to participate in our business forum and business networking breakfast and still have enough time to go to work. We have two very distinguished speakers. One is Andrea Klepfeldt, Edward Jones. She's going to be talking about investments. Always informative. You always leave with more information than you arrive with. She's great. And our very own John Sorgenfrey from the Promotions Committee is graciously agreed to speak at our breakfast, and we're certainly looking forward to that, John. And that is next Wednesday, 7:30 a.m., Rose's Small Business Networking Breakfast. Let's see. What else do we have? We have a
David, would you open for me on that?
Throw me a theme.
We can arrange that. Absolutely. Come on down, David. Lighted Boat Parade is coming up. We will be putting out some of the flyers. The poster is actually being made, it's actually being created now. We'll have that probably on Monday. But we're getting actually a lot of activity with people calling in regarding the applications. This year we're going to do something different. We're actually in it. There is a fee. It's $25 to enter. So, and it does cost money to run your boat. So it's only fair, I think, that we, you know, put up some cash to maybe offset some of that cost.
You know, that's, I would say, 10 years ago. I know Andrea, when the city was doing it, they've done it a lot, but, I mean, when they were doing it then, they actually did have a few years of cash prizes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
so
I think
that was really,
I thought we'd been creative.
It was good. Well, you're being recreative.
Okay, I like that. That's
did
best.
The number of entries go up in the years that people
cash prizes? I don't necessarily think so, but I think that the people who did participate got a lot, you know, it was a lot more motivating. So I think it's a great idea.
Talking about entries, we do have a limit, and our harbor is a little it only holds so many boats, allowing, you know, the distance that you need between crafts. So we're looking at about 30, and we were maxed out last year at 30. And it worked out pretty well. Any more would be a little hazardous, I think.
Doesn't it vary, though? I mean, like the Lynx took up like 7 boats. You know?
Yeah, you know.
I mean, it would depend. You'd think it would depend on if you got the little rowboats versus,
well, you know. This is true. It depends on the entries. But it did max out at 30 last year. And we did have the tall ship come in, and it was really special to do that. They really don't do that too often.
That was the Lynx, wasn't it?
No, it was Lady Washington.
I'm sorry. It was the Lady Washington.
And we extended the invitation last year to do it, and we did follow up on it, and their schedule is booked on the Embarcadero to take a look. Actually, we had a senior group with 2 buses wanting to know where they can park so they didn't have to get out and watch the boat parade. So we're going to try to accommodate them. That's 40 or 50 each bus. So it's nice to see that they want to participate.
You know, I was just thinking, as you proceed with this in your entries, one of the things that you might consider is, with all the talk about the changes in the fishing regulation and all that, we're talking about trawlers, and we heard from the Nature Conservancy and their involvement with, you know, permitting and stuff. I thought it might be kind of cool for because the waterfront gets just packed for the parade. And a lot of it's local people, which is great, because education part of this is, maybe you could maybe try to focus the, you know, get several types of commercial boats, and then talk about the boats and what and themselves, you know, rather than, because, you know, I was involved last year and stuff, and it was more of a party type atmosphere than an educational one. And not that you don't want that, but I mean, maybe you could throw in a little bit of that education thing too to help out the commercial fishermen. It might be somebody talk to Lori about it.
You know,
Ed,
that's a great idea, and we try to what generally happens through the application process, we ask about the boats, a little history, a bio, if you will, about the captain and about their ship. There's no reason why we can't include that. Absolutely. There's certainly a lot of movement going on right now to ease up on some of the regulations on the fishing industry, and great strides are being made now, and with the some of the groups actually lobbying to ease up on some of the we have the opportunity to talk to some very influential people that can make things happen in China. It allows some of our members who want to extend themselves into an international level. This is a great opportunity to do that. We've already submitted some requests, manufacturing requests, electronic requests. I'm actually doing 2 presentations for 2 companies on some of their actually inventions. One is an invention that seems to work perfectly in third world countries and also areas that have a lot of hills that have difficulties with putting different items in those to help with their wideband. This person has invented something that works perfectly in that type of rural area that's self-contained. So I am looking forward to being making that presentation and coming out of this with some contacts, I think, that might benefit all of us. And these are all local companies, too. And then the next trip is with the chamber is going to Ireland. We are arranging for a sister city over there, so a receptacle trip back here is the goal that we're trying to achieve. So they actually will come back here and do the same thing that we're doing over there. They have been creative. In the past, Ireland had difficulties like we have had trying to get people into their country and put on a program to bring in tourists. They've done a great job of bringing in people from Europe through their restaurant and hotels to bring in more information than people can use in our membership.
When is that?
That is March 1st, but the deadline is really coming up quickly. We didn't have a chance to actually promote this until last week, but we're getting great responses already. So if anyone is interested, the price is $24.99 if you are a non-member. If you are a member of the chamber, it's $24.49. And you can actually have a chamber trip membership, too, that allows you to go on these business trips, and it's a mere $50. So it's really a pretty good deal. We're starting our committees. I don't want to take up too much more time, but we had a retreat for our staff organizing all of the events that the Chamber is doing in this next year. I thought we had 18. In reality, we have 24, which is a considerable amount of activity going on in our Chamber, and you can see things happening because the committees are being formed now, and a lot of people will be notified to see if they want to be part of it. I think I better rest.
I had a couple of questions.
Yep,
Peter.
Absolutely.
First of all, I just wanted to say congratulations on the Margarita and Avocado Festival.
Oh, great. Thank you. That was fun.
Because I know it was last September meeting we were talking about how great it was going to be, and I think it's definitely going to prove to be a huge addition to the events here, which is exciting. The other question that I had, and I'm not sure if this is more for John or for you, but it seems like our sunset fulfillment pieces dropped significantly from last year. And is that just because we're doing less in sunset? Or, I mean, to me that seems like kind of a red flag.
But I don't know if it was apples, if
right.
we,
that
you know, if we
question.
If we did that much advertising prior to mm-hmm. or during.
Yeah,
but it's obvious.
Do you know, John?
You know, again, it could be. These are people who have just simply asked. You know, they've done the bingo card. I think more and more people are going to the website.
Right.
And so I don't think it's really, you know, maybe a fair test. I know that sometimes, too, all of a sudden there'll be a big reporting of a big increase. I mean, it goes from – it doesn't go month to month.
So maybe it's just accumulation, too, that maybe like last September – they held on to the bingo cards for a while and then sent the packets out.
That could
all at
be.
Once.
And then also, too, I mean, the reality is that even though we have been, you know, getting additional, I mean, we've been getting a budget every year, we are able to afford less in sunset because the prices continue to go up. And our exposure, not so much in probably 06, but certainly in the past, you know, we've had to cut back pretty substantially because that publication continues to really escalate in costs.
You know, we could look at the ad placements that, you know, when the ad came out last year, which I imagine I have the media plan here, but I could look to see what the difference is in the placement time last year versus this year that would generate that. So, you know, what we should probably do is watch this next month because there could be a bunch of bingo cards sitting waiting.
Right.
You know, by next meeting,
actually, that brings up an important point. There's always a lag when they come in. We try to get them out as quickly as we can, but maybe next month we'll see an increase just because of that.
Before you move on, if you could, back to the two separate 800 numbers. Obviously, one of those which is on the agenda to talk about later. So I don't know, but. If we want to deal with that, but one of the things I would suggest is that we move those 800 numbers over to other media that we're doing, because the one was used in the Calabasas magazine from last year, and the other one was used in the Traveler Coupon Guide ad. So those two being a year old now, or almost, you know, the Coupon Guide isn't, but Calabasas was, because that was earlier in this last spring. So I would think that we would want to move those over to track other types of media, whatever that may be. So I just thought I'd throw that out and, you know, let John play with it down the road or something.
Peter, I have one additional question.
Yeah, you bet.
On the website sessions, I noticed that we repeat the same information in two columns, and I was wondering what the reason for that was.
Well, Ed, I think what we decided to do is, and this shouldn't even be on here, we're going to have John take care of the website information instead of duplicating it with us, and this was supposed to be removed, and it will be removed next month. We won't be giving those stats.
Okay.
And John, I think, is going to take care of that during his session.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, David. I appreciate it.
By the way, was there, I heard I missed it, was there a person in an avocado suit walking around?
No. As a matter of fact, the person who was supposed to do that, the commission actually didn't bring the suit, but it so happens that it did, the person that was supposed to be there would end up being sick. Absolutely tremendous. I can't tell you how gratifying it is to actually see something with a conception of what we're trying to achieve actually come to reality, and it was overwhelmingly received by so many people. We had 60 volunteers. A lot of them were city staff that we appreciate. They thought they were going to come in and pour a couple of margaritas and ended up working their little tail off for about 4 hours. There was supposed to be a two-hour shift, but a lot of them just jumped in there and spent, what are they going to do? They had to stay. They couldn't get out.
Well, this brings up an interesting thing. Has a discussion, a follow-up discussion, been scheduled?
Oh, we have. We've had already, and I have to tell you right away, the growers, and this was the whole concept was to introduce the growers in, you know, to a an event, and because we have something very special here, and I talked about that last month with our fruit that they grow. The avocados here are special because of the 14 months it takes for them to mature, the oils increase, and all of these things that we tried to get across, and I think we did get across. But at the post-meeting, we had two of the growers attend, and they were so excited because of the response that they received and how they think it's going to benefit their industry locally in a very, very special way. As a matter of fact, one of them actually went down to Carpinteria, which was 1 or 2 weeks after ours, to their margarita, not margarita, it was their avocado festival, and they learned a great deal. They actually seems to be a great way to educate, especially when we have, you know, a few thousand people coming up and asking. So anyway, that respect. Tremendous.
In terms, though, of the actual logistics, I know that I had heard some people say, you know, the formation of where the lines were that you came in.
Everything's going to be changed, David. It was a growing experience. What's that? You get it? Pretty good.
No, that's what I meant, though. You were doing that analysis.
And we've already done that. Things are going to be changed. One of the comments that I really felt good about was my daughter came in and says, she goes, "Dad, I can't even push my baby cart through here. I had to carry, you know, the little Kingston." And I says, "Well, thank you very much," because that's what we wanted. We wanted it to be body to body, and it was.
But flowing smoothly. So
it was flowing smoothly, and we did have it. We had a police officer sitting right next to us by with all of the cash that was coming in, so it was great.
You know, David, I just wanted to mention, too, real quick, and I probably should have said this during public comment, but the Harbor Festival was a huge success this year as well. And I know I should know the exact numbers, and I don't off the top of my head, but I know that paid admission was up by a lot, like 8,000 people. So the event was a huge success. So I think that we're all doing a great job.
Agreed.
Well, in that case, then when we get now to the budget report, the numbers should clearly reflect this big success. And we turn the page and we see that at least in terms of total occupancy tax, that is to say people who are designed to stay after having had margaritas overnight, the numbers do bear that out. In fact, as I was saying to Ed a moment ago, the if you look at the July number, it's just
astounding. Well, I'm going to tell you,
by comparison, since you also sit in down in Pismo Beach, I mean, I'm not asking for their confidential numbers, though I'm sure they have public.
It's all public record.
Does that, just to know if it's a trend statewide or coastwide, did they see, would you say, similar things?
It's only with my clients. No, I'm kidding. No, it's I think that, you know, I think that Morro Bay should be proud. I think that, you know, it's been a good summer for a lot of people, but it's also for some destinations it hasn't been as great. And I think that, you know, I think that it's a combination of everything. I think that, you know, the fact that we're doing events that bring people in, like the Margarita Festival and the Harbor Festival, and then also I think that I really do feel that since we have less money over the last few years to use for advertising, we've tried to supplement that with PR. And I think that's been a wise choice, because that way we can get a lot of earned media for far less than it would cost us to buy it. And I think that's been true. And I think that but you have to have stuff to talk about. And I think that's why, you know, having these events, especially like the Margarita and Avocado Festival, particularly because it's new, a lot of the press really embraced that. You know, I think that they felt like that was a really kind of a fun idea, and they really wrote about it. And
not just here, but, you know, over in the valley, some things we really never even ever see. And then, you know, working with Heather and trying to get the word out about the Harbor Festival, too. I mean, I think all those things is just, it's a little bit of everything is what I think creates a success. And, but, yeah, there are, I mean, I think overall people have had a pretty good summer, but there have been some that haven't had a great summer. So I think we should be happy with that.
When you take a look, John, at the increase in vacation rental receipts, it seems either the city is doing a better job in collecting.
You remember last year that they made a big effort to go out and seek out those people who were not previously collecting TOT, and it looks to me like they've done a great
well,
job.
Well, I was going to say the city then should be congratulated in doing that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
So as a hotelier, how do you feel the summer's been? I mean, I know you've commented at other meetings that it was very successful, but do you feel that these numbers are reflective of what your business was over the summer?
To be honest with you, I thought I saw some August numbers 2 weeks ago that were different than these that showed a much higher increase than what I'm seeing at, but I may be wrong. I can tell you that we had we sold more rooms in August because we have a one-room difference, so it was now than we've had in the past of years. But just tracking my August since we opened in 86, we sold more rooms in August than we ever have before. So our occupancy was a little bit – was about the same, but because we had one – we've got one more room than we used to have. So it, you know, throws it off. When you only have 33, it does make a difference
right.
when you change it by one. But it was the best August that we ever had. I say that safely, and the best summer we've ever had. So we're having a great September. We had a great September. I'm looking forward to seeing those numbers come in citywide, and we're ahead in October. So we're just doing compared to previous years, and I think that we see that from a TOT standpoint, we'll see that citywide. That's my feeling because we've always usually tracked right along with what if we were up, the city's up.
Right.
So I'm really looking forward to some good numbers. The other comment that I would make is that the difference between this summer and last summer was that we didn't have the Morro Shores on board. And says they were able to, you know, get their own business and then overflow or whatever from the places that were already, you know, busy. And so it'll be interesting to see how they go through this winter with that and if the occupancy stays the same. So, I mean, granted, it's a small property. It isn't like adding 300 new rooms or something like that to where you might see the occupancy rate fall. Citywide, the TOT wouldn't necessarily, but you may see the occupancy. So, but in this case, it didn't, which I think is great news. That means Morro Bay was able to accommodate more people overall than they have been in the past.
What do you think, Ed, about the recent openings of all of the new hotels in Paso and then like the Marriott in San Luis? I mean, those seem like, I don't know how many rooms they have, but they seem like hundreds of rooms.
Well, the report, Paso Robles didn't have a real good summer.
Oh.
So even with the Marriott opening up there, and La Quinta, and the new one in front of the Hampton Inn,
right.
on 46, and that their occupancy was not up, and their TOT surprisingly wasn't all that up either. So that's but that's Paso Robles. Overall, I think that we may see a hit during the fair next year.
Right.
From Paso Robles because they're able to accommodate a lot more people in a big, you know, in a big event type atmosphere. But I think overall, if we were, people want to go to the beach.
We're a destination. They're not a destination.
The good thing that they have, all of those places have going for them is they're on the 101 corridor. And that's automatically going to draw more people than off highway that'll come to town and realize that we are a destination and not just a place to come to on your way to somewhere else. So I just think there's no downside. It's all good.
Good.
Yeah, and I think that question we'll get to later, which I had here in note the same as you, is when it gets to the traveler's guide, if you'd ever gotten better responses from the hoteliers on your informal survey of how the hotel coupon, but we'll put that later, even though it relates somewhat to the TOT and the income. Well, in that case, let us move ahead to the advertising agency report. Now, John, we've received a note here that there's not going to be any internet action today,
right.
So we can do this. But I bet we can use the overhead projector part. That will probably
right.
work as well.
Okay, well, I'll just cover the budget real briefly. I'll just pass this around. And you could put that one up for me. It's this document. And again, this is just for everybody's benefit. This is just again a recap of what we're spending. As we've talked about several times in the past, that the city's reporting is a little bit behind just because of the nature of how we get our bills from the media, and then by the time the city gets their bills, and by the time that's covered, that we're always a couple, 2 to 3 months lag behind. So this just gives the committee a little more of an opportunity to be caught up on what we're spending. We've gone through about close to $40,000 of our budget, which is pretty normal for this early into our spending season. We've pretty much worked with the county CVB. We've got all of their CVB. We've got all of their co-op opportunities committed to California State Visitors Guide. We ran another Imagine. A few things that I can show you,
John. Could I interrupt real quick? As an example, like the Sierra Magazine, while we've made the commitment and maybe have paid, I don't know if that's 50%. A deposit or what that is, but the January issue, you don't have the ad copy out for that yet, do you?
I'd have to go back and look and see why that has occurred, but that may be where there was, we had to, pay it early or something like that.
And it's not the money that I was asking about. I was just looking at the placements for January and March. Wouldn't that be a good place, because of the popularity of that magazine, wouldn't it be a good place to stick one of our new 800 numbers?
Yeah, we can do that. Actually, now that I think about it, the Sierra Magazine, that ad has been sent, because that was for their they have a special bird festival issue. And we've already sent that ad for January. That shows you how far in advance sometimes you have to get the ads into a national publication.
That being said, we could do that, though. We could do that with any of the other, like Travel 50 and beyond. We could do that if we wanted to track some phone calls and stuff. I just think that that's a great way to track. Other than bingo cards, it'd be neat to see if we have, because we know exactly if they come, where they saw that phone number.
Sure.
So, I don't know. I would just think that you would keep that in mind in some of the, even if it's in the San Joaquin Valley. Even if we swap over to our ads, change the copy or something. But I would just think about that. I don't want to have to go stop and recreate a whole new ad. If we've already got it going out there, but if it's something we still have to approve,
okay,
it'd be kind of nice to see that thrown in.
Okay, I'll take a look at that. As far as if you could show, there's a couple of.
I'm also going to bug you one more time. Are we doing anything just if we're going to do the two Bakersfield ads and stuff? If we did a winter one, that we might want to talk about the boat parade now.
Sure.
I know you're doing it on the website, so that's fine. I was just curious.
Well, and those ad insertions, we really do make an effort. The Avocado Margarita Festival was included. The Harbor Festival was included.
Sure.
Where it's going to make sense to when those publications fall. And I think that's another part of, hopefully given the events of, shot in the arm, we obviously can't do every little small community event, but, we've kind of targeted like our really big events that we know that we're going to get, several thousands of people to come to. And so we try to do that. And that's another change that we've talked about that's really kind of occurred over the last couple of years, is to really try to not necessarily center the whole ad around an event, but, say, by the way, this is happening, at this date. So I think that's been helpful. I know Peter has called me and said, you must have just broken ad, and, we're getting all these calls from the Fresno Bee. And I think Imagine and Focus on Living have been really good for that. This is a newsletter that we've sent out to our database, actually in the process of doing that. Actually, this has been done. And this is, again, just to give you an example of how we're promoting, an event coming in. We did this with several events in the past, but this is our newsletter that goes to our database.
Which is how many currently?
It's about, I think, didn't I say there's about 5,000 names? Yeah.
Okay.
So, and then there's another newsletter there, if you could. No, the one that's got the visual on it. It's really tenuous to put a specific date in, because sometimes they'll get delayed. And to do it date sensitive, we don't want to send out a newsletter and have the event, already happen 3 days. So But these generate, we've got Subscribe Today, and you will be entered into a free drawing for an overnight stay in Morro Bay. We've talked about that, and that really encourages people to sign up, and we build that database. When we run these normally, we'll get anywhere from, say, 20 people to apply. And as you'll see in the website report, we had over 215. That's less than we normally would have, but I'm going to go back and research that and see if that's accurate, because that is a result of the newsletter going out. And then if you could show the map. I'm sorry, David, did you have a question?
That last one went out for November?
Mm-hmm. Or actually, no, it went out. It talks about how it kind of talks about fall, basically. And then this is the very hard to read, but I'll get everybody. I can email everybody a copy of this for maybe one final look, but this reflects quite a few changes from Andrea. She gave me quite a few updates, and so we're getting pretty close to having our parking map completed. And once this is approved, then we'll get this going and have this on the website as well, so people can be able to download it and print it. But it sort of does two things. It talks about parking and also shows the trolley routes too. So it's the trolley didn't really have the funds to do that, so we've been able to help them through the production of this map.
It not only shows the routes, but it also shows the stops.
Right.
And that's what the legends are all about. And it's not only, when I was looking at it, Janine?
No, I think that this is the last bit of corrections that I got from Andrea. So I'm going to send it out one more time and say, we're getting ready to print this. Is there anything further?
What do we do about the fact the trolley only runs 90 days out of the year?
Well, we could probably note that on the map.
And each day is a different time.
Well, I think
4 days
is,
a week.
This is
seven-day-a-week trolley.
Well, this is just to really show people when it is running where the stops are and what the routes are. What we probably ought to do is note that, on the website mm-hmm. to, let people know that this is the service level.
Yeah, you should get the once the map is approved and we create the page for the map, then you should either have a spot that I don't know if there's going to be enough room for that, and to say what you want. But Janine can give you a schedule, dates and times, and so then the public would know it because she knows when it's going to run.
Okay.
Does the trolley have a website? Could we just put a link to their website with their schedule? No. Okay.
This is the city. That's why we are too. That's why we're here. To kind of help move stuff like that along.
And this is our report that Peter mentioned that we give every month. And again, yep. And I've said this again before, but that bar at 10:20, you have to realize that we're only showing half of the statistics for October, just by the nature of where this meeting falls each month. And that could be also a reason. I'll check in my report. I don't think that this last newsletter is reflected in the LA Times on that, because we would definitely have more than that. But average page sessions, which is really pretty interesting, page view per session, is over 4 minutes. So people are really spending some time on the website. And if you go to the next page.
Actually, if that said that the average user session is 11 minutes. What am I?
That was the
well, the page views, they're spending, actually, you're right, average length of time on the whole entire site is 11 minutes.
Right, and their average was 4 page views per session. Is that correct?
Average page views per session.
Was 4?
Yes, I'm sorry, you're correct.
Okay.
Right. Thank you.
And I did that from way over here.
That's good. The plan a trip section has continued to be our number one place that people go. In the past, it's always been lodging, but that follows second. And accommodation search, 2,400. Basically, we've also been able to, kind of look at see where the no referral. We've talked about this again in the past, that the no referral refers to people who are actually typing in morrobay.org, which hopefully demonstrates that, our advertising is definitely, working along that line.
What's the second one down, John? That I can't see from here.
That's the Yahoo search.
Okay.
The second one down is Google, and the third is Yahoo.
Okay.
So that shows that, you know, next to people typing in moral.org, they're using Google. So they're typing in Moral Bay, or they're typing in some other way to find us.
Right.
And as far as what we're currently working on, we've been working with Peter, also worked with Heather on the Harbor Festival for doing our public relations efforts. And we've had some really good response from that, from the media. I was going to mention about the Margarita Festival, again, just to say, you know, what a great event that was. And I think I did this in an email, but I felt really proud when I walked away from that day, because when you see not only city officials, staff, as well as public officials come up to, you know, appear to an event, most people do that, but these people worked hard. And it was really neat. You know, our city attorney was there, all the different, you know, a lot of different department heads, our mayor was there, a lot of council people, our council members, and it was great to see that. And I think everybody had fun working, too. And yeah, I think you did a great job, Peter. You really did. And you were able to, to work quickly with an unknown. You know, when you have an event like this, you don't know if you're going to have three people, if you're going to have 4,000. And you guys rallied. You know, they ran out of beer, and I think Bob or one of all went and bought keg. Like you said, bought every keg in the town. Instead of just simply telling people, well, we're out of beer, I mean, you guys rallied and made it work. And
it was.
And, you know, it was a nice event, too, because it was a family event, you know, which is really nice. And you have, you know, you'd have some drinking there, but it was very monitored, and it was a real friendly, fun event. And I emailed everybody about Bob from AGP Video went out on his day off and did a lot of filming, and that's actually on YouTube now. So I encourage everybody, it'll search it for you. I'm sure if you say Margarita Festival Morro Bay, you'll definitely come to it. And it's a nice little piece. And what we're going to do is I'm going to work with Bob on getting that put onto our website as well. I was going to mention the links. We've been working. I got it kind of late, but I'm still going to get it on. I'm going to try to. I was hoping it'd be on today, but we've got a DVD that we got from the links. It's just beautiful. And even though it's going to be a little late because they're coming in tomorrow, we want to get that on the website so people can see it. And since they're going to be here through Tuesday, I think it'll be helpful. But that's something that could actually continue to stay on the site as another, you know, aspect of what people can expect periodically in Morro Bay, because we have so many different tall ships coming in. So we're continuing to work on the website of really getting it more video on the site.
That was my next question, or question was, when you go to the calendar page, and there's the event, and then next to it is a picture, and I saw the kites, and I saw a 50s cruising car, and so forth. And I thought, how hard would it be to have each of those squares have a looped flash animation? Because we now have, I mean, the kites doesn't have to show the whole minute. It's just 30 seconds that keeps looping of kites, and the car comes down the street and comes down the street. And is it possible to do that?
Yeah, that's something that I want to get accomplished, and we're working on it.
Because you have all the lovely, we've seen the one-minute montage. We know the footage is there.
Right. But we'll definitely do that. That's a very good idea. I think that's pretty much all I have, unless there's any questions.
I want to, if I could, I don't know if anybody's noticed, but we have the nicest northbound Highway 1 billboard south of Morro Bay that's come available, the CBS billboard.
Thank you. Oh, you're welcome. And
that's the one that's up on the hill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They got
a public service announcement on it right at the moment.
Is that available though? I mean, have you checked into that, or do you know?
Well, it has. I don't know, but I know that what's up there, it says CBS, who owns the billboard, and I think that's their.
Oh, CBS owns it.
Yeah.
I would think that it would be anywhere from $2,500 to $3,000 a month.
Yeah.
I would suggest. I can't believe that one. Where is that?
Agency has about 15 of them, and I can tell you.
What is that billboard? What would that billboard be? Say south of San Luis, northbound on 101.
More.
Same.
It ranges anywhere. I mean, the cheapest boards are the rotating boards that go throughout the county.
Yes.
And those change every 60 days, and those are $1,500 a month. And the cheapest board that I have, I think I have. With any of my clients, is close to a couple thousand dollars. Okay. That board may be cheaper. I mean, but it's going to be at least, I mean, it's going to be 1500 plus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I just thought I'd throw it out because
It'd be great to have. I mean, it's a fantastic board. I mean, we had the Cloisters on there way back when.
Yes.
And I can't recall what we paid for that, but that was several years ago. But the problem with the billboards and the reason they're so expensive is because there's just so few of them. And they're in a lot of demand. I can't believe somebody hasn't picked up that.
And it may be, it may not be available already, but I know that there is no new artwork
check
on it.
And the cost.
Yeah, I was just kind of curious because if nothing else, maybe it's something that in the future we could think about co-oping. You know, have the city co-op with a castle. I don't know what their budget is, but I mean to have half of it be the city and half of it be just a cost sharing thing. Right. Anyway.
Okay, thank you, John. And yes, so you have the video thing. You'll develop that. Public Relations Subcommittee report. The Public Relations Subcommittee did meet. I met with mostly.
Didn't make it.
But it was a majority present. And we have some notes, and I guess we'll share those with you here. Susan, feel free to chime in. One of the things, these were follow-ups from some of what was brought up at the previous meeting. One of them was, some of it is new, but now that there's this phishing program out, as reported here, as we discussed a little bit earlier, too, on the boat parade, this Faces of California phishing program, obviously, ties in with the workshop we'd attended in SLO last year that had to do with the culinary tourism and the eating tourism. And at the time, I had made that little, you may remember the caricature drawing, which was to maybe look at possibly branding Morro Bay in this way. It's, here we go, in a nice close-up. See, Morro Bay, it's the fish. Because this may be an angle that links both.
I get it. Angler?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was second one here today that we've had of those. But the idea being that maybe one of the things we could look into this year as a PR thing and as an outreach thing is to look at this, buy local fish, just the way Paso Robles does with wine. They have a brand for it. It's possibly a liaison with this. Because, again, the thing that attracted me to this, I thought of John was, see, right there, Fisherman's PR campaign lost in that launch. And that's how they're approaching it, is public relations.
Susan did send me the link, and we're going to put that on the website. So I think that would be helpful. You know, we could certainly work with them. You know, I'm all for helping the fishermen if we can.
And it goes in with what Peter said earlier about the tying in with the boat parade, possibly.
Again, I think that what's necessary, though, is to you know, back this up with some specific events or things that we can, you know, that the media will you know, likes to, unfortunately, not all media, but most media, likes the negative. They don't like the positive parts of the story. So as you've seen, every time anybody's ever interviewed, anybody talks about the fish, it's always the glass half empty versus half full. We need to give them information of why it's half full. And, you know, I think that one of the things, and I know Peter needs another event like he needs a hole in the head, but I know that Avila, and I don't think Avila's done it for a while, but I tell you, it was a fantastic event. They used to do a thing, and I think we've done it. We used to do it at the Harbor. Did they cook salmon at the last Harbor Festival? I didn't attend. But where you have a celebration of the fishermen, and then there's like a big barbecue that's done. There's this group called Three Sheets to the Wind that sings old maritime-type songs, music. You can get Pacific Beverage or somebody like that to come out and do, you know, beer. And it just was a great day, and it was this day of celebration of fishing, of fish and of fishermen. And that may be something to think about because we need to create some positive things, as this is doing. I mean, basically, I think this campaign is information because the press has always picked up the negative part and never gone with any of the positive.
Did we ever have a traditional blessing of the fleet kind of thing here?
Mm-hmm. Every year.
Maybe now is the time to actually make it into something bigger that ties in.
Actually April, and I attended my first one last year, and it's really a good feeling day. I mean, with the clergymen in Morro Bay, they all do their blessings, and we go on the harbor ships, and we bless every boat in the harbor, and we throw a rose out onto the bed, and it's really a nice event, followed by an incredible barbecue. It's right here, right after that blessing of the fleet, and it's a great time to maybe introduce some other ideas.
Because I think John is right about the half full thing. I think what they've done here is a great thing. They have to deal with issues. They have to deal with moratoriums. They have to deal with things. So the answer is, we're going to take the fish that we do get to catch, and we're going to make that special, because it's not coming off some ship in Thailand. It's local. And that's why I think what they were talking about with the culinary tourism. It's you can only get it here. You want a fish that came in off of a fisherman who actually lives in the town. And anyway, that's just, we had discussed the idea of maybe creating, and I think if you've already contacted or have the link to these folks, a way to do that. And maybe we have enough lead time to look at making that something that becomes a bigger thing.
Well,
we're
actually at the chambers. We've been talking to Jeremiah and the fishing organization, trying to hook self, have had several conversations about doing the very thing. Their schedules are so unpredictable sometimes. Like the lighted boat parade, they would love to participate in a big way, but they're out making a living, you know, and so when they have the opportunity, they must take it. And but we still can build around that, and we're talking about different things right now.
I'm sorry. I was just real quick, David. You might contact Lori French. Mm-hmm. And show her this, because I know with the grant that she got and with the PR that they're doing, and Lori made a presentation to the business forum last week, and so, you know, I learned a lot about what, you know, she did. She did T-shirts, and she got a couple hats, and did some things, just all, you know, trying to do some PR stuff. So she might just, you know, she might really want to run with this or something like that.
Yeah.
with her organization. So you might show that to them. And as hopefully things improve, I think that would be more when the industry becomes a little more dependable here for product, rather than sporadic. I think then that's when we should really take a look at launching something, because I think it's a wonderful opportunity too.
You make it the wine of the sea. I mean, we can't really have, you know, like I said, if Paso's known for its wine or South County Vineyards, and that's something people come to taste. It's the fish and the tasting, and this is it. This is not farm raised in Singapore or off a Russian whaling trawler or something like that. It's this whole localism, which is going to be a bigger.
Well, I think it's a part, but I think that, you know, we still need to. And I know that you're not suggesting this, but we need to continue, you know, discover your better nature, because that's really what the overall umbrella and part of the Better Nutrition Farmers Market. So I work with them to help get that going, and that has been incredibly successful. It doesn't work in the wintertime, though, and they've found that out. So it's fine. You know, we start in April, and we end in middle of September. But that, again, and dependence upon product is, you know, is going to be important to do something like that. But, you know, I know that now Farmers Market now, is there's still fish sold there?
As a matter of fact, the last two Saturdays, the largest vendor was our fish vendor. And now he has built up a clientele where people look for him, and they come to his spot and really spend a lot of money doing it, which is great, and that's exactly what we tried to do with the market. I'll get you. It's an independent. I'll get
is
you the name and some stats about it, because it was pretty incredible.
Yeah, I was just curious. It's one of our local folks, or are they
yes.
from somewhere else?
Yeah. No, I'm not. I believe everything is through our local agency here. That
it's not like Central Coast Seafood or something like that.
I believe that's where they're getting their fish.
Oh, okay.
But it's not them doing it.
Is it not Old Port Inn? Is that?
I think that might be it. There's some changes, so I don't want to commit to that until we find out. It's changed in the last few weeks, and actually they weren't doing anything, and then the market manager suggested pulling out some of the shrimp cocktail, and actually walking up and down the market, and all of a sudden he had just caught fire. He had an incredible day. And then retailers are actually coming out now and participating in our market, so it's getting fuller and fuller and fuller. But next week we'll start a major campaign on our market, and you'll start seeing the posters, and you'll start seeing it on Charter.
Great.
Well, I think that...
Oh, sorry, John. I was just going to say, Ed, I recall from some of the Thursday meetings that I had attended in the past that a lot of the restaurant owners said that they didn't serve local fish and that it was really a hard thing to serve local fish. And that's one of the big questions I would have, you know, is how much local fish is actually being served. And I think that we sometimes get ahead of ourselves a little bit because it's a great concept, but if one restaurant on the Embarcadero is actually serving local fish, is it silly of us to invest in a campaign?
Actually, according to the article, there are a couple. And I think you're quite right. The idea is to find out when it is there to make a bigger deal about it. And you're right. It has to deal with the reliability of the flow of the product and to establish that. I think it may take a while for the fishermen to get accustomed to whatever the new rules are, and will take a little time to filter out. But when that does become the case, I definitely think it's something we should move on. Because maybe it won't even be how much. I think it's the niche value of it. It wouldn't be that you need thousands of pounds of it. What you need are, it's sort of like, you know, fancy caviar. It's not a lot of it, but it's very good. And it's creating it as a, what do you call it, a value-added product as opposed to the ordinary stuff.
I think some of the idea, too, apart from eating the fish, is that people who are coming from out of town are experiencing a town that has active, they're spending their money, they're staying in the hotels, they're going to restaurants, they're buying souvenirs.
But isn't it more, from that same forum that David Peters was talking, remember that, he was saying the very same thing. I mean, I want to be strictly local, but if I can't be local, maybe I'm Californian. And if it's not California, maybe I can be United States. I mean, and I think that was the impetus of that meeting, and so if it's not local, it's local within, you know, our country. So I think that's what came out on that.
Yeah, I agree with Susan. I think it's, you know, it's like San Francisco. I mean, Fisherman's Wharf. I mean, you know, that's an attraction. And I think that, you know, I'll be happy to work with you, Peter, as you get more information on the – I think that would be one thing to do, is to try to enhance the market. You know, with Avila, I mean, it's the first word is fish. It's fish and farmers market. And I'll be honest with you, though, what they found was that a lot of people, I mean, the people that really benefited were the restaurants, because people, you know, went there and they had a fish taco, or they had clam chowder, or they had a hot dog or a tri-tip sandwich. And the fisher, the lot, you know, the fresh fish did okay, and did, you know, it's kind of struggled along, because the problem was with Avila's, and the reason that they can get 1,000 people to come, it's an event. You know, there's a live band. There's, you know, it's right on the beach. It's, you know, right in the promenade. The weather's usually, you know, in the summertime pretty good. And there's a lot of people down there anyway. But there more and more what happened in your analogy of the – or the example of the shrimp cocktail, the way they were able to do it is give out samples and let people, you know, like they barbecue some fresh fish and give people free – what made that market is that it turned into an activity, an event. And, again, very family-oriented, and I think that's something, you know, that we could think about as we go, just that there's more. And the way they were able to do it, you know, you get, like, you know, in their particular case, Custom House, where maybe you get a local nightclub or restaurant that has live music, and they sort of, again, like co-oping, you know, they might pick up half the bill for the band. And then the proceeds, you know, that they were derived from the market, part of the proceeds were go to pay for the entertainment. And that entertainment was a good investment by the merchants because it brought in more people. And I think that would be really something, you know, for the future for more Beta.
Well, that's exactly what we're doing. And entertainment, you have to be kind of careful with it with our location, because there's a sound ordinance, and you can't – and where do you put them, and electricity,
right,
and all the other logistic problems. But we're solving all of those, I think, and during the winter months when it's actually a little quieter is when I'm going to start building up the advertisement. And certainly, it's actually colder in the summer, so it's, you know, our best time is,
right,
is September, October, November, and we are still getting great numbers, and we're still As just to throw out a number, we're still pulling in $6,000 to $10,000 in a 3-hour period. So,
wow.
I mean, there's a lot of activity going on in our market, and it's continuous. So when we start doing the publicity and people become aware of what we're doing, and we feature, and we're going to have a link on our website that's going to feature all of the vendors that are in the market, or most of them, and they start seeing that we have all these things. We actually have a hummus vendor coming in this week. I mean, there's really things happening there, and it is becoming an entity that is started off pretty small, that is becoming more and more popular and larger in mass, and it is becoming a factor with the chamber, and we're very excited about it.
Well, I'll say we had this idea about making the fish something bigger here in town, and I suppose that at some point we will get there. I'll go through some of these quickly, and I can email this out. An idea that Susan shared was to encourage shopping, which is part of the tourist activity here, possibly sponsoring, maybe through the Bay News local publication, a best-of competition similar to the one the New Times does countywide, but just exclusive to here in Morro Bay. Certainly have a no shortage of businesses in a variety of categories, and that this could possibly also serve you, because it would not just be people who pick up the newspaper, but you could have the form at all establishments that would be filled out. And one of the things we came up with is it would require a zip code, so we could almost begin to track what are the day trippers versus the people who are actually the local residents who are using the businesses and the facilities as well, and use that as a collaborate with the chamber again on this, and you'd have winners, and then you'd have a list of runner-up as well, so it's not like sort of only one person getting all the praise, but as a possibility of doing something like that. I don't know if that had ever been floated as an idea at the chamber.
Well, there's really several ideas with relationship to contests and things like that. Yes, there's in the future we'll see more and more of that, and we're actually bringing in maybe a
you know, it does not meant to compete with the New Times or the countywide thing, but it would certainly be something for the city. I have the opportunity to put an op-ed in the New Times at some time in the future. The editor liked my last article and said, yeah, feel free to write something. And so when we think the time is right, I would do a review of what tourism has meant to the city. But it's best to place that at a time when we think we need that best. So you're all here. Let me know when you think the time is, and I'll...
Yesterday would have been good.
Oh, but I'll cobble together 1,000 words, and we'll try and strategically get it placed at a time when... either seasonally or otherwise, winter or something coming up that will work. Maybe should time it for the Bird Festival as part of the Discovery of Better Nature outreach thing.
Well, if you wanted one theme, I mean, it might be that, again, it's the whole story of the glass half full instead of half empty. You know, there's a lot of really positive things happening in Morro Bay. You know, our TOT is up, you know, to this record percentage. We had 4,000 people attend, a brand new event. We're working with our local fishermen to, you know, put a face bond, you know, all those different things, you know, that all these positive things, because, again, the press wants to concentrate on the negative, and, you know, maybe could provide them with all the positives.
John, we had talked about a small ad being put in. I don't know if you wanted to comment about that one. Remember we were talking about that quarter page ad?
Well, that was just an image ad for...
Oh, is that what? Okay.
Right.
Right. Okay. Wasn't sure if we were needed to discuss that or not. Good.
Another quick thing to point out that I don't know how many of you get the Westways magazine from AAA. Mm-hmm. I could pass these out for those who hadn't seen it. They feature an end page photograph, which is some historical photograph from the archive of AAA of Southern California. And it could have been an intersection in Los Angeles as it was 30 years ago or whatever. Well, this month, it's Morro Bay. And we will see if this helps. Now, what I'm suggesting, and maybe some of the folks up here can help out with that, is to keep this going a little bit. AAA will often print in their letters to the editor the following months a reflection or a letter that comments on the photograph from the month before. So if anyone here thinks they know someone, it would preferably help if it was a Southern California address, who could write in and say, oh, wow, thanks so much for that picture. Boy, did that bring back memories. We used et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
there is a chance that such a letter would get printed. So I have only one relative in Southern California, and they're not old enough to remember that picture. But if someone does think they know someone or you have contacts.
Well, I mean, I get Westways, and I live here, so
okay.
It doesn't necessarily – because I think that the dividing line is somewhere around the middle because there's Via Magazine, which is the counterpart to this. But people on the Central Coast would get Westways if they're a AAA member.
Okay, well, if anyone wants to try that, I mean, send in letter. The more of them that come, the more chance there is that one will get
printed. It doesn't matter where the letter comes from.
I thought it was trying to attract, though, the Southern California tourist.
But the Southern California tourist reading a letter to the editor, whether they're from Southern California or not, it's what's in the letter that would be attractive, not...
Microphone in.
Microphone. I didn't want it to say it out loud. No.
Sorry.
I could certainly write one, but that would look biased. I will happily author one, but a story. Why would one write a letter about coming to Morro Bay? And this got into the discussion we had, which had to do with the concept of the I Love Tourists campaign. And Susan raised some very valid concerns about it that even went beyond whether it's tourists or visitors, that perhaps the whole idea of commodifying these other people, we'll call them the others for this moment, was itself possibly somewhat patronizing. In other words, that, yes, please come. We have a net out, and we're here to hook you in. And began to discuss the concept of what is it that people say about Morro Bay when they come here. And I've been, of course, I always ask the people. This summer was a very busy summer for pretending to be someone I'm not. And, oh, really? Do you like it here? And they don't know who you are, and you ask them questions, and they're happy to tell you. That they like Morro Bay because it is such a friendly, low-key, casual place. And we began to work out concept of, what would the real message be? And among the ideas we threw out were that, it is sort of like Mayberry by the sea to a lot of people, specifically because it's not as overdeveloped as so many other coastal towns. It's not high rises and pretentious. The fact that it's not modern. Actually, retro is in. It's in troubled times, people like to go back, right, to when things were better, easier, more comfortable. And without being maudlin in a nostalgic way, there is a draw to that, that it could be retro chic, and that currently we seem to target a lot of our demographic, seems to be, 65, 70 plus. I mean, they're older people with money, and that's certainly something. But one wonders, where are the baby boomers? The urban baby boomer, 60-year-old ex-hippie crowd, not what it isn't. And maybe that might be a way to look at in the coming year, not at this meeting in particular, but to agendize for future discussion, where this campaign would go next from the I Love Tourist is something that's more about, we'll see what it turns out to be. What about what it is about Morro Bay that these people like? Susan discussed the idea that she's found from her empirical observations. You have a lot of people with money who come here slumming, quote-unquote, to avoid the pretentiousness of a place like Carmel or the crowds of Santa Cruz, that they have the money to go a lot of places. They choose to come here, and because things are less expensive than those locations, they can bring the family as opposed to just being the two retired people coming as well. And so the idea being, is it possible to capitalize on that, Peter?
Well, just to support what you're saying, we were the chamber was approached by a what was it? It was called Monterey County Weekly newspaper. They were looking for a location like Monterey and Carmel 20 years ago, and they wanted to do because there's so much traffic, there's so many people there. They wanted the locals wanted another place to go, and they researched and contacted us about doing an article about Morro Bay and how it is what it is, and how I discussed with the reporter about our the debate we had with the one light that we had in town and what kind of friction that brought in, but she did come down, and we hooked her up with all kinds of things. And next meeting, I'll bring the article that she had written.
Yeah, one of the slogans we tossed out was, Morro Bay, California, like you remember it.
Two, it's people that are now becoming empty nesters that can travel when we want them to travel. When they can come on the off season, they can come middle week. If you look at bringing back the Volkswagen Bug, and now they're going to bring back the bus.
You know, those are examples. If you look at, you know, movies that are used to be old TV series, I mean, all those things are about nostalgia and for baby boomers. And I think that one thing we probably, you know, we've never really thought about, but it's interesting because I know with Pismo Beach, part of the marketing there is to, and I lived in Newport Beach a long time ago, and that, because it's a surfing, more of a surfing town than Morro Bay is, it's still kind of that same kind of theme about letting people remember how, what it was, a beach town, what it was like when they grew up. And people go for two reasons. They go because it's nostalgic for them and reminds them of their youth. And also it's fun to take your kids and show them that this is really how it was when, you know, this is how our community used to look when we were there. And we've never really done this, and maybe it's be smart because of what you said. You know, just as Pismo communicates to Southern California, you know, maybe we ought to hit the Monterey and Carmel area more so, just as they do, and say, you know, remember how Monterey used to be? Remember how Pacific Grove used to be? Well, it's right just down the road. And I think a lot of people would embrace that because, I mean, I've certainly traveled to Monterey, and I've seen a lot of changes. I mean, there's a lot of traffic up there now. And you go to Carmel, and I can only take that for about an hour.
And Santa Cruz is just...
I mean, it's a pretty town, but it's just, it doesn't do much for me.
Try to find parking in Santa Cruz, downtown.
But that may really be a, you know, an interesting, you know, I think Morro Bay's got a lot of those attributes. And that is something that people really, as they get older, I mean, I can speak from experience, they want to recapture, you know, some of their fun days as the youth and take their kids and say, you know, this is how it used to be when I was growing up. And I think it'd be kind of a neat idea to do, maybe as we look forward to, like, doing something more, maybe up in the Monterey area. You know, they're really close to us. And I know we've been kind of reluctant in the past because there's, you know, a lot of other areas they could go to. But having that angle of, like, you know, kind of the nostalgic
California
part of it.
California like it used to be. And Ed, you were going to say?
No, I'm fine.
So that's just one thing we could maybe put on the table for the future discussion of when it was raised, what becomes of the button in the campaign is maybe it's not so much revising the word on the button as actually just looking towards a different campaign. I don't know, Ed and Bill, you'd raised that issue a bit in the past. Do you have any?
Yeah, that's a way to go. We don't need to have a button for a campaign, obviously. If we're going to do the buttons, we can do those also. And
it's more
along with it, but it's the concept is a good one to bring back memories. And as John said, and I agree with you, it's a huge market, the baby boomers, and there's a lot of money there to be made if we can attract them to our city. And so it's just the concept that we need to get
them. It's so funny. We have the spring. You know, we always do the custom car show, and that's a very 50s thing. But those guys and gals are all now in their late to mid-70s, right? You see who's sitting out there. Maybe the VW camper vans and the VW bugs, and it's sort of, I'm not saying a summer of love thing, but maybe there, I don't know if it could be added to that, because it's all been very 50s, but the 50s are now in their 90s.
If you want to do a Volkswagen show, I will help on that. See, you know, the furthest I ever went was up at where we have a little cabin, and I had to drive it up to Pine Mountain. I'd never gone more than 30 miles, so I didn't know if it would make it or not, but it made it okay. But no,
that's about Cuyama, isn't it?
Pardon me?
That's up out of Cuyama,
yeah.
Isn't it?
But there is a small group here, and I think that when they have Kids Day in the Park down in Santa Maria, a group of them come. And they've got some pretty cool Volkswagen buses and bugs and a few things. But there's actually like a thing group. But I think the biggest one you'd want to do would be have the whole Volkswagen thing. And it's a pretty big – there's like three or four publications about Volkswagen that you could certainly run an ad in, you know, if you had an event. It'd be pretty fun. And, you know, it would really tie in with this whole aspect of a 70s, 60s thing. Mm-hmm. Because some of these buses, I mean, they're worth, you know, $30,000, $40,000. They've been all tricked out and customized. And but, yeah, that would be really a fun thing to do.
It brings back memories for me.
Maybe that becomes part of the campaign.
That was my first car too.
That is what they said here. You know where they call it. You know, Rock of Ages, which is what they describe it up in the thing. I mean, it is certainly.
See, four of us just said those were our. Yeah. It was all of our first cars.
Yeah.
Ed's first car was a bike.
I came to California.
Well, that might not be a bad event to kick off a new sort of campaign.
You could really, really have a lot of fun with that. And
that
you can have one of the things that they do at this car show that I went to. they have some real serious, you know, entries, as this, as our car show does, but you open it up to have some really fun ones. And the one I actually won with my VW thing was a Party Crasher. So it's our press for that. But I'll look into it. I'll by next meeting, I'll report back as far as there is a local group here. I'll check with them, and then I'll see about there's actually a website that has like a listing of where the shows go.
Not just, and it's just a thought. I mean, this all, it ties in with, again, just a refocus. We still have the better nature, and that certainly is the principal thing. But that's, again, natural environmental. This is more of a cultural
right
tourism as opposed to a specific geographic or natural function. In fact, it is cultural. It's the built environment. It's the infrastructure is the 1950s here. Now, those may lament it who live here or deal with it, but to other people, that becomes retro chic, and this could be both, as you point out, a Bay Area, Southern Bay Area, and an L.A., because it's not the same crowd as Calabasas magazine. And maybe the idea is to try and figure out what do the 60-year-old former 60s hippies, now established or retired but drove VW bugs and went to Berkeley, what are they reading? What are the publications? What's the demographic to reach those people?
Wall Street Journal.
That'd be very interesting. If Wall Street Journal ever ran a story about how Morro Bay went retro, that would be a big thing. So that would be, I guess, and then the last item that came up at our meeting was the possibility, and I don't know if it's too late to do this, but the Christmas shopping season, there's the show at the end of Thanksgiving, or the 25th, then there's the lighted boat parade. But to keep the shopping concept going, is it possible, and I know you were going to offer a contest, win a weekend in Morro Bay thing, that is it too late to put in something where people could sign up now and make that giveaway the weekend of the lighted boat parade? And then tie that. Last year we had that incident, was it last year, with the Santa Claus ad on the website that sort of sparked a little. But this seemed to me a much vaguer way of doing it, with non-denominational. And
you might have, just from a hotel standpoint, you know, I mean, you might have a little trouble getting a free night on the Saturday night of the boat parade.
Okay.
I'm thinking we're already past half full for that night, but mostly because of our location. But I don't know about the rest of it, you know. But it's just something I would rather see it leave it a little bit more open.
Well, what we could do is maybe a happy compromise. We could certainly emphasize the lighted boat parade on the website. You know, as we get closer to that date, it'll be on our, like we did with the links. We could have a separate landing page, and we could have a photo gallery showing all the different entries.
Or how about if it's more less of an intrusion onto the vendors on this one? What about just if there's a restaurant on the Embarcadero, and so you could have a dinner? That seems to be something that could give it away
well,
a little bit more.
I think you ought to put – I don't think it's necessarily important to have the package before the event. I think it's more – you know, in other words, you know, I mean, you want something from me, I'll give it to you. Just let me put a few restrictions on it, and you can have anything you want. And so – and I think the restaurants, you'll find the same way with them, and that makes it easier to package with everybody, whether it's, you know, go whale watching, stay the night and eat at Windows or whatever. I mean, you could do a lot of things. You know, I've got I think I've got 20 tickets to Hearst Castle sitting in my desk, you know, that we give away, you know, for because as a member of Friends of Hearst Castle every year, we're entitled to some tickets. So
with people getting out of town that day.
I was thinking, too, Susan, if you, since you're a merchant, and I'm not sure if you're part of the Merchants Association, but, I mean, if that group was able to put together a shopping spree, or maybe with the help of the Chamber of Commerce, I mean, certainly we would have no problems publicizing it and maybe doing a giveaway through the website, but we don't necessarily have the legs to go out there and put together that. But, I mean, I think that would be great for the holiday season to do a holiday shopping spree, win a holiday shopping spree in Morro Bay. And I mean, you could go on about, you know, get away from the big box stores and get eclectic gifts this year, or, you know.
Getting away. Oh, there was another thing that we mentioned, one thing about Visit Morro Bay that ties in with the whole ex-hippie things, right? It's the city without big box stores. It's the city without outlet stores. Yeah. It's the city without a 7-Eleven. And that's again, those are not, they may
so
have
what do you have if you don't have all that?
Yeah. Come and find out. It's a whole world of mystery. That's exactly the point. Everything that everyone wanted we now discover is what they really want, and it's a good thing we didn't go ahead and do, because now it's the opposite as the generations go.
Well, here's just one thought, and I don't know if we want to deal with it today. I guess we'd have to deal with it pretty soon if we're going to do it, but we have contingency funds, and I know we're going to talk about the coupon publication. We'd still have probably money to do this, but if you went to a radio station locally here and said, how'd you like to join partnerships with us? We'll spend $1,500. You give us another $1,500 in trade, because we're coming up with the promotion. And you said it's going to be, the prize would be that they get a $100 shopping spree in Morrill and do a promotion. That would be one way to do it. And they would, but they want to want some cash too. But in addition, they would trade it, because it's a prize for them and it's a promotion. Those kinds of things work really well. And if you came up with like a really killer prize for like the, because you know the lighted boat parade, that one of the keys is trying to get a good seat, you know, and you know you get parking, you know, you have your VIP parking pass, you come right in and park, you'd have a, you know, classic full view of the bay, whether it be at your hotel or it be at the yacht club would be another, you know, and then you get dinner, and then you get breakfast the next morning, and then all the merchants that would be supplying the prizes would get mentioned. So if it's breakfast, it would be the restaurant describing the breakfast, that whole thing, and that could be like a, you know, a good 2-week promotion.
Well, I think you're mixing a little apples and oranges just thinking out loud. Number one, it's a local radio station, so you don't need to put them in a hotel necessarily. You can do the shopping spree, give them VIP parking. You know, for example, they could park the car at our place and walk across the street and down half a block to the yacht club, work with the yacht club. Maybe they could have some exclusive VIP seats for the boat parade, which is a great place to watch the boat parade
right
from. Be able to be involved with all the stuff there, and then have the shopping spree and, you know, mm-hmm. tie
yeah,
it more,
really need to do
more
that,
local, because that's what the shopping thing, you know, we're trying to do both. You know, tourists get more tourists to spend more money here, but also to try to get countywide folks to come here and do their shopping too. So I think it'd be a really great, you know, and if you wanted to give them a package for a future visit, they could give it to, you know, a relative that came to visit, as far as the, you know, that. But I think they had food, you know, they had a food thing too, and maybe that's something that, you know.
Well, the restaurant would just have to see the value of getting, you know, giving up a dinner for
the Embarcadero promotion. Grill is advertising a lot right now because they're brand new.
Doug would probably do that.
He probably would. So I think that that's a great idea, but how are we going to take action on it?
Well, I guess just to play devil's advocate, I don't know if it's this, if it's more of a chamber function, or if it's a, you know, I mean, we've had mm-hmm. tried to help the local bring in, you know, people to shop at our merchants, but again, I don't know if this really fits our, you know, increasing TOT and overnight stays. I mean, it's more of a shop local promotion. So,
but it is bringing, I mean, to me, I feel like people are going to go do their Christmas shopping. They have to go somewhere, and you know, how many people in the county think, I'm going to go to Morro Bay to do Christmas shopping? I mean, you could survey 10 people and probably none of them would say Morro Bay. So I mean, to me, it does seem like it's a good concept to try and get people from Paso or people from Pismo or even San Luis to come here. So it's not maybe not a TOT increase, but it certainly is a sales tax increase.
I'd like to could we agendize the if Peter would agree to it, if we commit some amount of money to a local promotion on KVC or some, you know,
Coast 101.3.
Excuse me?
Coast 101.3 would be the best demographic.
Well, the only problem, I was thinking maybe, and again, it doesn't really, I'm thinking more like KIQO just because of the cost.
Well, there's three stations.
Or the Crush, 92.5.
Well, I mean, I know, I work with Coast. I mean, I work with all these stations.
Yes.
And Coast spots are like 40.
Could the chamber do the legwork on getting the idea of, because you're going to do the boat parade. The chamber's doing the boat parade this year, and as part of that parade, we're going to put up money to promote the parade, and also and to tie that in with a contest, could you, in your discussions with the yacht club along the way or whatever, could we fit this little idea in and into that?
we've already designed the poster. I suppose we could go into it. Just we need to get something out soon.
It doesn't. It's not about the poster.
Well, I mean, it's part of the whole package of advertising, and if it's going to get out, it's got to be somewhere else, you know, other than just this. But sure, it's, you know, getting a special place to park, having a contest where people would want to participate and win some prize, whatever that prize is, and if it's a shopping spree, if it's a dinner or a place to park yourself during the lighter boat parade, yeah, that's pretty easy stuff. We just add it to what we've already are doing now. And if you wanted to do the advertising on a local radio station, that just helps everyone.
I could see it almost like what you did with with Charter. You know, the station might, that's the other thing of picking the right station that's got an aggressive salesperson that's hungry. You know, they might be able to go out and then say, as part of this, you know, you can go out and sell other merchants, you know, shop, Christmas shop. You know, that would be the theme, Christmas shop in Morro Bay. And then they go out and they design little packages, you know, for $400 you get, you know, whatever, 30 spots, and then you'll be tagged onto our promotion. If we had somebody like that, I don't think it would interfere anything with what you're doing.
No, we take the poster. We take the poster, and the poster would go to the radio station so that they'd have some, you know, other information to promote the boat parade. Not so much to include, you know, we're just trying to get more people to come to the boat parade
and shop.
Well, so get more people to shop here. So part of that would be doing something to get them something special for the boat parade, which would get them in town.
So are we looking at the shopping spree idea and a place to park, a dinner, you know, a nice location for them to, and that's kind of the prize, right? I mean, is that right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why it needs to be more.
That would be an awesome prize.
That's great.
I think a little, you know, again, it's like a little bit of everything. You know, it's like they're totally taken care of. They have a VIP parking space. They have a ringside seat to watch the parade, say if it's at the yacht club. They have a great, you know, dinner for two someplace. And, you know, it's sort of like they're just kind of taken care of. And then they get a $100 check for a shopping spree in Morro Bay. That would be the prizes.
John, could you talk with the radio stations? Because you probably have a lot of pool with them since you place a lot of ads with them.
Yeah, I'll certainly, you know, I'll run it by a few of them and see who comes up with the best package.
Yeah.
And then I'll work with Peter on it. But I think if we can just get us the prize, and usually these types of things, I mean, you just give the station the copy points and let them take it.
Well, actually, we have everything already. So, I mean,
right.
We have a parking place, and, you know, if we have to come up with $100, we'll put it in our budget and we'll just do that too. So it's really all there. I guess it's primarily getting it out and doing a little dialogue and find out.
To be a $50 amount or larger, who knows? I mean, maybe you might get 5, 6, 7 businesses emailed back and maybe not a whole lot of work, and you could have that, and maybe it'd be $500 shopping spree.
Sure, and that's what we typically would do, and certainly the people would participate. I know they would.
Yeah.
So because this is an agendized item, I mean, we've having this discussion about it under John's report, backing up. How do we allocate?
This is under PR.
Yeah. Oh, it is under PR. That's right, under PR. So, how would we go about allocating the funds to do the promotion when we're kind of on a short string for timing of this? By the time we get together in November, this thing should already have been launched.
Well,
couldn't you direct me to investigate it and come back with a proposal, you know, exactly how it would be, and then that would be where we would, you know, basically say yay or nay. You could just direct me to come back and investigate it, bring back a proposal to be ready to go, and then approve it then.
But is the third Thursday in November soon enough when we have the first Saturday in December being the event?
No. Probably not.
I don't think it is.
How about a subcommittee? Proving the idea.
Haven't we done email appropriations before?
We did that once I do remember that once on something we were waiting for with John Sorgan.
Can't they do like a council thing and say it's an emergency item and they unanimously vote to hear the item? Well, it is date sensitive, so it would be an emergency item.
Well, I'll be honest with you, we have done stuff under your report before all here because it was
you know, money appropriated. I mean, this has already been the money's, and I don't mean to speak for you, but I mean the money's already been approved by council. It's
okay. Shoot me. I'm going to make a motion that we allocate $1,500 to the promotion of the Light of Boat Parade through shopping, Christmas shopping locally in Morro Bay, and that money is contingent upon John Sorgenfrey being able to match that with a participating radio station. And come back to us or send us the actual plan or whatever prior to the launch of this. I'm going to leave it up to you as to the date.
I'll second that.
Discussion.
What about additional merchants to tie them in also, so to get a larger prize base?
Yeah, I can ask the station to do that.
What the station normally does, as you well know, on a trade situation, they're going to raise the rate or keep the rate as high as they can.
I'll raise the rate.
Well, they'll keep it as high. Okay, good. I know they will.
Get my rate.
Well, okay, as long as we get a decent rate on the trade portion, and then in addition to that, add merchants to make the price base larger.
Right. And that'll be, I'm going to direct this, you know, put that opportunity at the station.
Okay.
I won't be doing that.
No.
who's our lady that we met, that I've met at the forum from Clear Channel? And I don't even know if that's one of the state
Fisher.
It's Janet, huh? So I mean, I don't even know where this whole program that I was involved with all these gift certificate things. I haven't heard zip on that whole program, so I don't know where that is. But I would think that she'd be one to talk.
So I mean, I'll probably go through my rep, who's her boss.
If you even use
really, you know, steps up and goes the extra mile, and I've seen KIQO be really. You know, this kind of thing.
I don't want to be rude, but does anybody actually listen to that station?
Yeah, I mean, they're third and fourth in the ratings.
For what?
Since I've been in this market.
But for who?
For people 35 plus, 25, 54.
Is that the station that that you put that ad for us for the
No, that was KJOL.
Okay.
I was going to say we got a great response there, too. Mm.
And that would be another one to think about. But see, they're a satellite station, so there's no live, you know, real DJ that would go on and hype it. I mean, that's really what's got to be done. I mean,
sure.
It's not just running spots. Radio personality's got to get really behind it.
You see, I'd be talking to Dave Congleton. So that'd be, you know,
he
owes me. No, I'm serious. Is there,
KBC,
you know, I mean, if it wasn't, is there something there that steers you away from it? When you say go for it, I could tell in your voice. I mean, is it the station or that you have trouble working with? Or
I can just tell you that I had a remote one time for Fish and Farmers Market, and it got a little loud for Dave, and he just picked up and left.
Oh, you know what? I remember that because they were doing live, right? They were doing live down there. Yeah, okay.
I think the important thing on something like this is to the station, believe it or not, $1,500 is not a lot of money.
I understand.
You just need to find somebody that's going to say, yeah, that's a really great idea, and it's a little extra business for
us. May I say something, too? I think the station that John is referring to is a station that does many promotions, and the listeners to that station are attuned to promotions such as we're designing. You take a station like KVEC, it's an older audience.
Anybody wins anything? Because I want the people to actually get the message about shopping here, and that's the ultimate goal, not to have somebody win a contest. So, you know, I mean, so we go to the most famous place in the world for people calling in to win stuff. That doesn't get you anything, in my opinion. That's my 2 cents worth. I'd rather go where the people, the affluency is, the money, the deal. I don't know what station that is. I'm just saying that's my counter to that comment. But anyway, that's... It's either here nor there. I'll leave it up to John to pick the station and do that.
I'll post, you know, both groups.
Yeah.
And frankly, you know, Clear Channel, I do a lot of promotions with them. They've been very, you know, supportive.
Bless you.
And I'll just run it by both and see, you know, what we get for our money and whoever's going
to
come with the most.
That's the best way to go.
Fine.
You know, that's the best way.
So the motion is then that we approve up to a maximum of $1,500 to create this cross-promotion for shopping and the boat parade with the station. And how would we go about then? So we wouldn't really, we can vote on that at this moment. And then what would we say? John will just email us and get back to us with the specifics for our consideration.
Yeah, because we pretty much set the limitations in the motion. It's just the rest is the nuts and bolts.
All right. So then that the motion, Bridget, to do the official reading back of the...
I've got the gist of it.
You got the gist.
But I point of clarification, since you've made this motion, does the future agenda item go away?
I didn't ask that it be agendized for the future.
Actually, you did use the word.
Yes, you
agenda.
Did.
I did. Did I really?
Yes, you did.
You sure it wasn't maybe...
All right, then, all in favor of the motion as it is?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
John, you'll look into it and you'll let us all know. All right, well, I think that brings us to the end of the subcommittee / advertising agency report.
Thank God.
Yes, there was a website committee report. Did the website meet?
The website met. Ed was out of town, so we asked Susan to attend. We discussed quite a little bit about the website. We discussed some other things, too. The one thing we discussed was the activity page, and we felt that there needed to be something about shopping added to it, or maybe more things, such as shopping or gift shops or something, because people do come here. We try to get them into the shops, and I don't know whether we have to make that as a motion or whether what we have to do or work with the Chamber of Commerce to get it changed. But we felt that that was something that needed to be done on the activities page.
Well, let's see. Scroll down the page, if you could, for us, just to take a look. And use the activity planner. So you're saying, yes, in other words, the activities here don't look at shopping as an activity.
What about when you go to activity planner, though? Is shopping one of those?
No.
No.
There's no place that lists shopping.
Art galleries,
by seems like we've talked about this before, huh? Mm-hmm.
Yes, we've talked about it once before.
Miscellaneous, I guess. One.
It's not there.
General information about whether it's antique stores or just a variety of types of businesses that we have that you don't find in Atascadero. I mean, you know, you don't see a lot of the businesses that we have here. You don't see anywhere else in the county. You know, maybe in some of the other beach towns or something like that, but it's so you don't see them in Paso. You know, to me, I mean, seeing about some of the shops and the types of things, and I bet you we have probably the highest concentration of art galleries of anywhere in this county. I don't know; you would probably know more than me, but we have a lot of them.
Yeah, art galleries is on the activities list,
uh-huh.
But that's really the only retail, if you want to call it retail, that's on the activities.
Yeah, I don't think that we should get into promoting individual businesses, which you would almost do, but I think we should, if you went down that business road, but I think we should have a general
category
yeah. that discusses the quality of shopping, you know, availability in town.
Well, as a shopper myself, what I would suggest is that if I were going to a town, what I would want is like a general overview. So like, we may have like one or two clothing shops on the Embarcadero, but really they're more gift shops. Like I think a description, you know, gift shops, jewelry shops, art galleries, like a description of the types of businesses you're going to find. And then like the Old Town area. So maybe describe the two areas where you could shop and the types of stores that you would find there, to me, would be what I would think I would be looking for.
So... I'm looking for
unique shops or ideas.
No,
about
we're looking for specific with regards to individual businesses.
Well, why couldn't we just find five unique businesses in Morro Bay? Something that's
because that's pretty exclusive.
Okay,
that's too much exclusivity.
But again, I mean, we've already got all those shops on the website. I think the easiest way to at least to get started is to just add shopping. And they click on that, and they go to the list where all the shops are. Mm-hmm. If we want to have like a little paragraph about how unique the shopping is, we can write that too.
Right. Why don't we do that? So you click on a button called Shopping under Activities, and then you go to the page, and at the top of that page, before because you're going to link to the existing page probably on the chamber
right.
side in the back. So maybe you do throw a paragraph in, and maybe Peter's already got something there. I don't know. You know, with regards to the businesses.
So you would you're thinking about going to the chamber list of, what do they call it, the chamber directory.
Yes.
And so then that would then give you all the chamber, the directory.
Yes.
And then you had, to go down to another column that says shopping jewelry, something like that. You know, it goes alphabetical.
Yeah,
alphabetical by name, alphabetical in those categories. So yeah, they could then go to.
Well, I think what it does is, and I think what you were trying to put across is that there's another activity in Morro Bay, and it's called shopping. So
right.
we just
right.
I think
right.
we just simply add it to the
right.
list, and then. They can go, and then I think that, you know, what Heather said is a good idea, you know, to kind of give them an idea. You know, we've got basically three parts of our town open for your shopping mm-hmm. fun. You know, we have the Embarcadero, we have Old Town, and, you know, we have...
I didn't make a motion. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm sorry, I was in the restroom for a lot of that, but I got the gist of it.
Is it?
What we'll run the tape back for you.
What else did he have?
The website?
Yeah.
Anything more?
That's all we had.
All right. Thank you for the website committee. Unfinished business is none. New business was the discussion of the radio station, which Ed and I laughed. I mean, Joe talked about earlier.
Laugh is good.
I mean, any folks, the idea was how can we use it? Has anyone given it a listen, Ed?
Yeah, I gave it a listen this morning. I don't know what we're going to do with it. It needs an awful lot of help. Technically, it's weak. I listen to about 30 seconds of dial tone, and then a busy tone, and then an operator saying, you have dialed the incorrect number, and if you'd like to redial, that would be okay. But and then the Coast Guard came on with a very difficult-to-understand weather report of the bay.
Okay, so I have a question. Who controls that station? I didn't look into it, but we need to know who controls that station.
As I understand, it's the police and fire and Coast Guard.
I was told it was the Chamber of Commerce.
No. We may have access to it, but it's not under our control.
Mm-hmm.
The control is with the emergency agencies.
I think it should be absolutely under the control of the Chamber of Commerce, because it is while it currently says. This says public information radio station. That's not what the signs say. The signs say tourist information.
Yeah. It does give tourist information, I must say.
There's no reason why we can't make it what it should be.
There's no FCC regulations that prevent
there's no FCC regulations, but not technically.
It's our local station. You know,
wouldn't it be advisable, maybe? I think Bill Pierce probably is the most knowledgeable person about radio and about that station. And if we were to contact Bill, and I think we could get all the information from him.
And we have the information. So there's no reason why we can't do that. And obviously, it's for emergency access also. And that's, that's if there's emergency that comes up or a disaster that has to be
I think it's another awesome tool that if people would actually, if they actually pay attention to it, you could talk about the upcoming boat parade. You could talk about the farmer's market, the fish and farmer's market. Everything that goes on here should be on that, because when I listened to it, I couldn't believe I was hearing, no offense, but I was hearing like a 14-year-old Coast Guard person, girl, with this drone, fast, talking about, not even a surfing report.
Mm-hmm.
So, while that information's important, it should be like we got a 20-second segment in the loop of that, that gets updated. And thank goodness at least somebody is using the thing. But I just think it's the whole wrong thing when the signs say tourist information.
Well, how about if we do, if I can make a suggestion? Perhaps let me look into it closer or have the chamber look into it closer and maybe talk about it next time.
Yep. Good.
Mm-hmm. And see if we can make some changes.
Find out
access,
also.
Maybe we can just...
Peter, it might be interesting to find out also how long a loop we can get on that station.
Sure.
How many minutes before that goes. Then what we do when we find out the time of the loop is then format it to what we want to put in it. Visitor information, surfing information.
We could form an ad hoc subcommittee to deal with that whole thing. Mm-hmm. Just like we do with our other ad hoc committees, we could just... and just a task force to put up temporarily to get this thing, you know, analyzed and up and running and all that. And maybe we could do that next month when Peter comes back with the report.
Imagine if it's like, imagine if you could loop it so that between 4 and 6 p.m., if you're driving through town, what you'd hear is the Morro Bay Fish and Farmer Market is going on right now. Exit Morro Bay Boulevard.
Right.
Take your first ride. And then it'd be right
there. I just think that because of the signage that's out there and all the discussion about how we can't change freeway signage to get people off the freeway to actually come and see what we have, what an opportunity if we have these signs and people actually tune in and they actually – I mean, if five people a year pulled off the highway because they listened to that station and pulled them, it's five people we wouldn't have had pulled off the thing. And I just think that that's what we ought to gear it to, is getting people off those off the off-ramps and get them downtown.
And
that's
make it timely.
And make it timely. That's
change it more often.
Yep.
It's very stale.
Yep.
I would recommend that because I think it would be a great idea to have it timed and have events and all that, but you're going to have somebody that wants to monitor that, stay involved in it, somebody to record it, somebody to get it over to the station, get it put on the station. I think the best thing to do would be to clean up what's on there right now if it sounds like it's pretty bad. And just get if it's 120 seconds of positive information about Morro Bay and why it's a great place to visit, start there. And then, you know, maybe eventually have somebody that's a volunteer that wants to take that, you know, that's got the time to want to embrace it.
Well, the Coast Guard's doing
Bill
it every
Pierce
day.
Is the key.
Let's
Bill Pierce is he used to be in the past years. The Chamber of Commerce just made a phone call to change the, they actually did the recording. But Bill Pierce had all the information on how to do that. Now, whether he's still that current,
he's the one that brought it up. is good.
It wasn't that difficult to go in and change it.
No,
and
as a matter of fact,
changes. Just calling and going into a quiet room and making a recording.
I think it's as simple as a remote
telephone.
Yeah. I think you could do it with a cell phone.
Yeah.
So we get a report from Peter next month, and then we'll go from there.
Do you know what the date of next year or next month's
16th, isn't it?
16th. Okay, I'd be in China, but I can still have the report.
They have phones.
Sounds good to me. You guys up at what time?
Whatever.
Hey, Ed, you had said that you might travel the distance of Highway 1 and see its range. Were you able to see how far south and how far north that station goes?
Okay. No. Remember, I listened to it coming in on 41, but I can't tell you exactly when I turned it on. I just wanted to hear it.
Heather, I listened to it in my garage this morning at about just before the meeting.
It was crystal clear?
No, it was very staticky and there's another station under it. There's another audio.
It was
very, very...
Yeah. I've listened to it several times before.
It's not crystal clear.
No, it's not.
Far from crystal clear.
Maybe a worse message than no message, depends. But next
point of clarification, will that be coming back at the November meeting if...
Can't you send somebody?
I can.
Someone's going to come.
It's not a problem. If I'm not here, I'll have Kevin or one of the staff give the report.
Thank you.
And then moving on, Ed, you had to talk about the contingency funds for travelers coupons.
If it's not a problem, I'd like to table this and continue it to the next meeting.
I will place a motion that we move this agenda item, new business B, to November meeting.
I'll second.
Any discussion? That was the discussion. Jumping the gun, he's like, screw the starter gun before it goes. All in favor?
Aye.
Future agenda items, we have. Do we have one? I thought. Bridget?
VW bug?
The VW, no.
No.
I don't think that was an agenda item, the bugs.
Jonathan. I think most of this stuff kind of fall under my report.
Yeah. All right. Well, if that is the case, then we will...
Before you adjourn, though, I just want to go on the record to say that Dave Connelton's a friend of mine. He's been very helpful over the years and everything that I've done.
Second thoughts, John?
I just want that to be very clear.
Interesting.
That we're on television. He has done many, many wonderful things for the community, and I just... we'll certainly ask if he wants to do this, but knowing him, I don't know if this is something.
He's
really
a friend
embrace.
Of the chamber. Every time I make a request to to do something, to promote something, he's been gracious enough to allow me the time. And
right. So I just want to clarify that.
I've been a guest on his show at least, I've done at least three or four Congleton talk shows in his studio, and they're always very gracious and productive exchanges.
But I will check and see if this is something that they might want to do. So.
And the reason I brought it up was because, for whatever it's worth, it was the time we did it was the most successful radio advertising that we had ever done. But not to say that we had only done one other station. So, but they were very, it was very successful what we did. So,
you did that with me, huh?
I did that with you. Yep, I did that with you.
And Bridget, you had
a Heather and Ed show.
Question. We'll have two unfinished business items, no new business items next month.
Didn't hear any new business items, no.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you
Good
all.
Good job.
Well, thank you all, and let's go have fish.